Hello, everyone, and welcome to Highway 101, one of my favorite Depeche Mode live albums. Wait, episode 101 of the Blind Bargains.
Is that a really old song reference again?
There is JJ.
How are you doing? For my,
I was in radio in the 80s. It's entirely possible that I do these things from time to time. Actually, I would like to also thank Dave Williams for being on the program. Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Hello, hello, hello from the UK, Worcester, where it's the middle of the night as we record.
Hey, you weren't born in the 80s, were you, Dave?
I was born in the 70s, Joe.
See, that's much better.
Okay. But
of course, I was born in the 60s, so I don't
know. I wasn't going to say that, John. That's fine.
I figured people could do the math at home. Dave is with us to talk about Sight City, not Sight Village. I almost want to say Sight Village, but Sight City and some of the things that he encountered over there. And also, my hands are in these two blocks of ice because at the time of recording, I stayed up all night playing Injustice 2 for the Xbox, a fighting game that many blind players will play from time to time now that it's brand new from the guys at Mortal Kombat. So if I happen to snore, Patrick may or may not edit me out of the podcast. It is entirely
kind
possible.
Of like how I do when you guys go Doctor Who for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, I'll just leave that in there. It's okay.
Oh, man. Oh, there's a huge spoiler about blindness in the Doctor that I will not give because some people might not have seen all of season 10. But anyway, moving along, we also would like to thank our sponsor for this particular episode. Thank you, Hims.
Hims with the new BrailleSense Polaris coming out in the next few weeks. You can learn more at HIMS-INC.com, Hims Lifestyle Innovation. And we've got a tip coming up. We have a sound off in your comments and some interesting last words. Find it convenient that we have Dave here as well because something else happened this week that we weren't really expecting. We were kind of expecting, but we just didn't know. We knew it was coming. But, it is now here, and this is we're talking about the death of the WindowEyes screen reader. It has been official. VFO, Freedom Scientific, has announced that WindowEyes is officially being sunset. WindowEyes users are going to be provided with free versions of JAWS 18 for, you know, whether they want them or not. and also, your SMAs will carry over. Now, one thing you do have to choose is whether you want JAWS Home or Pro Edition. And because the difference is the software is the same, but the home edition, is used for non-commercial use and home use, where the pro edition is used for businesses, it also has a larger SMA cost every year. So, we could dive into this for about 5 hours and we won't, but I guess we were talking a little bit before air, Dave, as far as, a lot of us, we knew this was coming, right? The merger almost a year ago now. It wasn't obvious. It didn't seem like they were going to hold on to two screen readers and two magnification products. And so it's really not a huge surprise at this point, is it?
No. And I think for a lot of users, unofficially, WindowEyes has been retired for a little bit. There will be, obviously, a hardcore of people that have stuck with WindowEyes right to the bitter end. And perhaps, that's a personal decision you have to look at when you know that the company that makes your product is going away, and perhaps the company is going away. You perhaps need to think forward, and a lot of people have done. You said there in the introduction that you're getting JAWS 18 whether you like it or not. Well, you don't have to get JAWS 18. There are alternatives available. There's NVDA out there, of course, and maybe some people will look at perhaps. Jump in from Windows altogether. So, yeah, I'd be interested to know how many people are we talking about at this point? And obviously for individuals, as you made a point before we came on air that it's all right for somebody who's tech savvy, they can go and learn another screen reader, but it's very hard. Some people spend years and years investing a lot of time and energy in learning how to use a screen reader. It can be a very tough learning curve for many. And I understand that VFO are making some resources available to help people transition.
Roe Gygas did at least one recording on some of how the WindowEyes features relate to JAWS features, because a concept like the JAWS cursor is going to be completely foreign to someone, which is really essentially a mouse cursor of sorts, the way I understand it. I haven't really used JAWS too much in my life. I did some in a computer lab. But, for someone who's used WindowEyes came out, kind of looking through this, what was it, 1995, 96, right when Windows 3.1. So it's certainly possible that some people have been on this for 20 years plus. Certainly Doug and Dan, for the most part, were on this the entire time. poured their hearts into this. Windowize was first with a lot of things, such as Flash and PDFs, but there were a few things that always held them back. One was they were really late to the game with scripting. They had a great scripting model, but it wasn't really introduced to around 2009, 2010. And while it was a great scripting model, everybody who needed custom applications, including government agencies, went to JAWS because that's where you could get scripts. And that was the first screen reader and really the only one for the longest time to do that. So that helped give JAWS a huge advantage over time, and JAWS just had a bigger marketing budget, and they hit the pavement really well. And while Doug and Dan and the others tried their hardest, it, you know, over time, it just, they kept on getting swallowed up. You know, Windowize would come in and work with Adobe and get PDF support, and then JAWS would be coming, oh, thanks for making PDFs work. Now we'll just add that.
So, as a home user, I really enjoyed Windowize. You know, I thought it was nicely presented. It was very well crafted. The whole user experience, they cared a lot about the detail of things like verbosity and getting the order of stuff absolutely right. But in employment, I think it's fair to say that competitors like JAWS had the advantage. I think JAWS got to Windows NT before Windowize. I think I'm right in saying that. And also the Braille support, they were a little bit late with that. So who knows how all of those things contributed to this? You know, it's always easy to look back in hindsight and say, well, if this happened, that might have happened or whatever. I guess the thought that has been on my mind is thinking about the people, because obviously it is a small industry and many of us are close to the people that work on the products that we use daily. And I met Doug Jeffrey on several occasions and Dan Wyrick and recorded interviews for Main Menu and other things. And they were always very, very approachable, and they always seemed genuinely interested in the user experience, you know, at a time when user experience wasn't really a thing like it is right now. Everybody talks about usability testing now and agile and sprints and all the rest of it in modern software development. And they were talking this kind of language, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And they seemed very, very committed. And they almost were, I think for those of us that used Windowize back in the day, they were almost heroes, weren't they? They were kind of heroic.
They were, you know, rock taking stars. On they were truly bigger accessibility rock stars. If you went to a CSUN or NFB ACB meeting, you know, they were approachable people that knew that. Yeah. And you were right. It, you remember the personalities, Clarence, Jeremy, Raul, others, Aaron, you know, they're just people that you knew, Stephen and others that you got to know because they were one of the people that would pick up the phone. You would call and you would get, you know, one of the heads of the company. It was very easy and accessible, and they would just carry on these huge, immense things. I remember in 2006, one of my very first CSUNs, you know, Doug packed a room, just, you know, it was standing room only. And it was me and Curtis Strong and others in that room, and the vibe that you would just get from something like that. And, you know, in the States, we have a tendency to like the underdog, right? We always want to promote the smaller guy. So that carried along as well in what they would do with their podcasts, their newsletters, the website. It was just a very approachable company. I think you hit the nail right on the head. It's sometimes the personalities that you remember.
Remember, they did goofy stuff. Remember the GW Micro sponsored poker tournaments?
Yes. Oh my goodness me! Yes, yeah, I know.
Or the giveaways with the cowbell.
We did a deal as well, didn't we, Jay? Back in the ACB radio days, I'm sure we did some kind of sponsorship thing with GW Micro as well.
Oh yeah, they were always, well, they sponsored. I think they worked with ACB on some stuff. Yeah, it was really, they were just really fun people. There's one other quick story on that is, you know, they did one of those intro to scripting classes when they were first starting that to try to get people to write scripts. And I took that with Doug and Jeremy teaching it. And not only did they put in their effort for the 2 days of 9 to 5, but they were available. They went out to dinner with us, and they even said, hey, you guys want any help or you want to work in the evenings? We're here for you. I mean, this shows me the commitment that these guys had and the love they had for their product. Doug is still working with them in other roles, and some of the others have stepped away, kind of probably seeing the writing on the wall or just not wanting to deal with, well, let's talk about the what's next. JAWS, of course, is an option. NVDA, the Supernova, Dave, is that still, I mean, that's always been a thing that's been bigger over by you and not here. Is that, how is that looking these days? Is that something people should consider?
Well, yeah, I will speak to Supernova in a second. I just want to say one last thing. I wish everybody involved with WindowEyes all the very best. The people who worked on developing that and using it and testing it over the years. And, you know, I got paid jobs as a result of being able to use WindowEyes. It was doing things other screen readers weren't doing at times, and that meant I was able to get paid employment, and I'm truly, truly grateful for that, and I hope those people go on and prosper in other roles. So yeah, and I think, you know, it's another meaning of the word accessibility, isn't it? The fact that, you know, company director, you know, these days the heads of companies always seem so remote, don't they? And these guys making themselves available. So cheers, guys, and good luck to you.
And I'm not trying to say that none of the Freedom Scientific people are like this. There are some great people that work over there as well, but it just was that vibe that was put off by GW that was always talked about, is how above and beyond they were with tech support and everything.
Well, look, I mean, there's not many owners of assistive technology, of big technology companies that would come out themselves and do the demo. You know, it became a thing with Steve Jobs, you know, later on. But the fact that, you know, Doug was there and he could do a demo, and there's always that sort of awkwardness when a sighted person is doing a screen reader demo, because there's a bit of you thinking, well, why isn't there a blind person doing this demo? And also, when sighted people start talking over the speech synthesizer, you just want to jump up and grab and say, stop, I want to hear what it's saying. You know, and Doug always got it absolutely pitch perfect. So kudos to him.
Absolutely.
So, Supernova, I was for a time the Supernova product manager when I worked at Dolphin. So, I can tell you, I've certainly walked that walk, and I know how tough it can be. I think it's fair to say that Dolphin's main strength now in Supernova is magnification more so than screen reading, and that when I go into employment as an independent accessibility consultant and trainer, I find there's a lot of jaws out there, and it tends to be the people who need magnification. They are perhaps more likely to have Supernova. So as a screen reader only, it certainly still exists, and there are certainly people still using it. They have great Braille support, brilliant Braille translator developed by James Bowden, who now works with RNIB. And, you know, they're doing some things now with, they have a guest mode, I think, where you don't have to install a video hook. But a lot of their work has gone into the magnification. They've got some remote viewing features where you can, have a whiteboard split screen with your Windows magnified screen, you know, and stuff like that. So I think that's where the main emphasis is really now for Supernova.
And for good reason, because that's actually a market that has less competitors than the screen readers. People say, oh, we lose WindowEyes, we don't have any competition left in the market, which I don't buy that for a second at this point. We have, in addition to Supernova, JAWS, NVDA, and not to mention Narrator, perhaps a dose of System Access too. I'm looking at the BOM one. Looks like, are they done? I don't see a Windows 10 version of that thing.
Cobra
never really caught on anyway. Their website says Windows 7.
And someone wrong here. Probably yelling at some are probably yelling at their iPod right now, voiceover, for those who are using the Mac.
Well, yeah, I mean.
So on Windows, Cobra is there in Germany. And I think the audience that Cobra serves really well, because Cobra is all about the physical layout of your screen. And Baum have accessories for their line of Braille products that you know, they have a slider that will sit next to your computer, so you can move up and down in a very physical way. And similarly, there's a horizontal slider, so it will give you quite detailed positional information, and you control that with these sliders. So I think that's where it kind of comes in. But it really, I can only think of one person using Cobra in the UK. So I think it's a more a European pursuit.
And that's what I found when I was on the Supernova beta team, was that Supernova had a real hold on many languages, Arabic and some of the Nordic languages, some of the Eastern Bloc languages. That's what I remember from the beta team, is always having to maybe use what we now say is Google Translate to be able to figure out some things in English and their native languages. And that was always amazing to me, to know where the strengths were for certain screen readers. Sometimes foreign languages is the strength for a screen reader, and sometimes native language is the strength for a screen reader. You were talking about personalities and the like. That's how I got to know things throughout the years that I've been in professional assistive technology. In fact, I came to VFO because Jeremy Curry, who was at GW Micro, asked me to come on and do something for him over at AI Squared. And then, of course, AI Squared was acquired by VFO. So that's how I kind of rolled into everything. And it is a very small industry. For those of you who are out there thinking that you want to be a part of the assistive technology industry, it is a very small pond for blindness. And we do all run into each other or see each other, especially when we were doing ATIA and CSUN. It's like, hey, I'll see you in about 4.5 weeks. You get to know those personalities and who is there and what they do. And that's why, you know, some people ask me when I do interviews and I say, well, this is my friend at the beginning of an interview. Yeah. I may have known that person for 17, 20 years because we've all been in the same kind of circle. So it's always weird to see this happen. It was happening in Braille displays for the longest time, way before screen readers. Dave and I could probably toss obscure Braille display names back and forth for the next hour or so. So it's you know, the rabbit or the squirt notwithstanding. So this comes and goes in our industry, and it's just, for some of you, it might be your first time experiencing this, that we have this expansion and contraction where we have big monolithic companies and then we have mom and pops. And in this case, we just so happen to have the software contracting, but there's tons of hardware still coming. We've got all these different Braille displays again and Braille wearables. So
yeah, and that's a big, you know, thing. Braille is a big passion for me right now, and I don't need much prompting to talk about Braille. And Jay's question was kind of what next, and Windowise is not the first screen reader to have gone away. I mean, anyone remember Window Bridge?
I used that too, and then unfortunately the guy passed away. I mean, it's not going to get developed past that. So yeah,
magnification. It was LP Windows, which later got absorbed into Magic. So it happens in screen magnification.
ASAW, I mean, we could do this list all day.
We do the same thing, exactly. So for some of you, this just might be your first generation in which it happens.
Yeah. So, you know, we're going to talk about this a little more later. We have a lot of reader feedback already on this. Reader, listener, whatever you are, both. We will talk about that a little bit later. We got a couple other quick news stories that we'll breeze through, and then we'll get right back into
Absolutely. Access City. World 4 May has rolled into our inboxes or through the Access World app. You might note that there is a book review of a certain book that someone might have written on Android with a certain Access Anna.
It's Anna's book. And I've wrote a little bit for it as well on Android.
Mr. Pauls is becoming quite the game player. I was talking about Injustice, but there's also Mind Racer for this. He heard on an Apple this demo, and then Jamie went out and bought the game, and he says it's quite addictive. Book review of a book written by Judy Dixon, and some other information here in the world of Access for May. You should go check that out if you haven't already.
We were just talking about Amazon and Kindle and NVDA, and there's a review of that by Bill Holton, and not the only Amazon news out of, you know, sometimes the mainstream news crosses over, so might as well bring in a couple here.
It looks like Amazon Video, that app that was talked about before the new fourth generation Apple TV was to be released. Well, Amazon finally is going to release that app they had talked about 2 years ago. So I'm still waiting for you, Time Warner, Comcast, thingy, mop. No way it would be Time Warner Spectrum at this point.
Still not on Android, is it? No.
Yeah. And, you know, there already is an Amazon purchasing app there. So there's an Amazon Prime shopping app, but it is not the Amazon Video, which is what a lot of people are looking for. Remember, that's Amazon Video is available on a whole bunch of other platforms, and it's super fun to work with TTS, be it PlayStation, Xbox, or other places to be able to use that. So have it on the Apple TV would be super cool. Also, certain apps, you know, I just like the CW is a perfect example. That's the show here in the States that shows all the DC superhero film shows like The Flash or Arrow or things like that. That works extremely well on Apple TV. It is really crap on other platforms. So I'm still using my Apple TV for cord cutting. It really works out really well. And then we have an article here about the Amazon Echo to Echo calling feature that we had talked about briefly last week, because it had just been announced as we were going to record.
We got one more gonna slip into this. This just came through today as well. This is an investment funding story. IRA, which we've talked about a lot, interviewed them over at CSUN. They also threw a nice party. Thank you for the beer. And they're doing all right because they just got $12 million in Series B financing, meaning a whole bunch of people see the viability of this thing. IRA being the crowd assistance platform where you can either use these glasses or just use your smartphone and pay either a couple hundred dollars a month or $89 for 100 minutes seems high, but there certainly are people that are doing it to have a remote press person.
Out of that Boston Marathon. Yeah, I saw that in a lot of mainstream
outlets.
Did
you guys try IRA?
I have before, back when it was in its testing phase, way before the Explorer program, and I understand why some might want the co-pilot feature. I don't know that I want an onboard pilot with me all the time. I kind of still like because I'm a video magnifier user to a minor extent, I want to be able to just flip it on and use it like a handheld magnifier. So something like Be My Eyes or one of those apps works better for me for what I want, rather than having somebody go with me all the time, because it just seems like fraught with peril. Like the airports seemed like it would be hard.
I tried it last year at CSUN, and did the whole going in the Cheesecake Factory thing and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
And the trouble I had with it was the kind of, how do you make it work socially? So you go into a shop and you approach the counter and you want to buy something and you've got somebody else chatting away in your ear and they're telling you what they can see on the shelf behind the counter, and you almost need like a, just shut up a minute button, that will just kind of put them on hold, because you don't want to say that, and the person behind the counter is talking to you and somebody in your ear is talking to you, and then somebody else is trying to get past and you're juggling your cane and all the rest of it. I struggled in those very tight, close environments to work out, how does this work for me socially? Now, if you're walking down a great big wide street and you want to know what's across the intersection, now for that it is beautiful, and it'll be really interesting to see how things like Orcam and IRA, sort of play out, because they're both trying to solve similar sorts of problems in very, very different ways.
Now, I've seen some friends of mine use this in a few applications, and I agree. I think if I walked up to a counter, it's just as easy to ask the person behind the counter what's there. But there's some interesting situations. We were in San Diego at the end of CSUN, and we were down in one of the neighborhoods, and they just brought on an Explorer to tell me as we were walking down the street what buildings and stores and bars they saw. Now, your GPS can do this to an extent too, but it doesn't always have everything. So that was an interesting idea. I've seen it used to solve the whole candy machine problem, which can be a dire situation if you don't have any eyes to help you figure out which button to press to figure that out. IRA themselves mentioned the idea, and I guess here's a privacy concern, but do you want to do it? They would offer to link to your Uber app as a third-party API token and then help you find your car. So that's an interesting idea. I could see perhaps, especially like in an airport or sometimes when it's just not easy to find someone.
Yes, but black Ford Fusion. No, there are none of those.
In California. I'm looking for a Prius.
Prius? Yeah, exactly. It doesn't happen at all.
It made me feel so self-conscious, though, like when you got your first cell phone, and you take it out for the very first time, or when you dictate a message to Siri for the first time, or OK Google or whatever, and you do that in public. And then suddenly you think, hang on a minute, I'm not sure I want to be doing this in this situation. So
yourself, because you've already got a cane in hand or something else that's already defining you as a blind traveler. And in some cases, like in San Francisco, there are still bars that prevent you from using Google Glass or the Instagram, spectacles that are out there, because, some people are very uncomfortable about being photographed, or moreover, don't want license plate readers, don't want facial recognition in airports and the like. So I agree with you on the social construct idea of this too, is how much are you causing those around you to be self-conscious themselves because they notice that you're wearing this camera on your head?
How much do you want to stick out? And it's like, do you care? I guess is kind of where that goes.
So along, testing the edge cases, you know, what happens with, you know, coverage and batteries and when you've used all your credit and stuff like that is going to be really interesting.
And they're pretty forthright, too, about these use cases and trying to figure out about learning what works and what doesn't as far as different situations.
Maybe HoloLens and some of that other AR technology take off, especially if Apple does one, then all bets are off, because then everybody will want to have white earbuds sticking out of your ears with no wires. Well, then sure, go ahead and put this Apple thing on your face. That'll be okay, right? So if something like an Apple comes along and makes it a fashion statement, then that makes life a little easier. What I find fascinating is $12 million, where if we look at that SSB BART article that we posted a couple of weeks ago in Web Accessibility, that was like $60 million. And this is just one round.
I'd be happy with 12. I don't know about you. Well, I mean, I'm perfectly fine with that. If someone wants to invest $12 million in the AT guy's empire.
There's a different market of scale, right? It's a different market of scale. And I only say that in respect to, again, market, screen reader market, how many people were using a screen reader, how many people are using that compared to other forms of accessibility. So there is that, and I think we could poke holes in this gentleman. I think there's that philosophy that if you're in blindness assistive technology at a certain level, you're just rolling in cash, and that is not always the case. There are very few people that I've met who have cashed it in. I'm thinking Ben Wise of ZoomText when he sold it like back in 2006.
Yeah, unless your name is Blazier Henter.
Exactly. So I think that's a misconception as well. So when we say millions of dollars, I want to come back to the idea again of Braille displays, right? We can talk about a Braille display here. We can talk about note takers here, but it really matters when you go and touch it and feel it for yourself. Well, if you don't travel very often, then that has to, the mountain has to come to you. So it does cost a lot to travel, as Dave knows, as I know, as JJ knows, to be able to get that product out there, dealer networks and stuff like that. So what sounds like a lot of money really does get eaten up by the cost of manufacturing.
Oh, yeah.
Of promotion, of shipping, and actually getting to a market which traditionally doesn't travel very often, as we're having with this conversation about, you know, ERA.
Speaking of traveling often, though, Dave has been traveling often, including to a place I'd love to go to sometime, maybe next year. I'll come out there to Sight City in Germany. We will talk to him about that next after this from Hims.
Go make it happen with Go Vision, the new transportable video magnifier from Hims. With GoVision, you get all you'd expect from a transportable read, write, and distance magnifier with optical character recognition, plus the ability to enlarge and customize files, photos, and videos from your cell phone, tablet, or computer. Look at a slideshow of pictures from your vacation right from your thumb drive. Bring the world into focus with GoVision. For more information, call us at 888-520-4467. Visit us on the web at www.hims-inc.com and follow us on social media. Hims, lifestyle innovation.
Welcome back to Blind Bargains, episode 101. And it is a special time because we are approaching more shows. Summer convention right around the corner. But it seems like our friends in Europe have filled that gap between CSUN and the summer conventions. And Dave is here to talk about what it was like at Sight City. Again, no mention of Spatula City, which is a old Weird Al reference we won't get too much into. But so, Dave, if I'm coming, is it a big event there, say, compared to Sight Village? And do I have to know another language other than English?
So the first thing to say is that Sight City claims to be the largest event in the world for assistive technology. Now, there may be other conferences that might have something to say about that, but that is their claim. And they've got a couple of things to back it up. They had 128 exhibitors, and that's all in the kind of, you know, blindness and low vision field. Now, it's not just technology. There are other products and service providers who are there, but obviously for this, I think we are primarily interested in the technology. It's an annual show.
Unless you have like blind golf, that's kind of stuff that's kind of interesting. But
I know. I didn't find any blind golf, you know, blind tiddlywinks or something. But if I do find those things, you can be sure I'll whip out the Zoom and try and get some audio for you. So Sight City used to be the big one in Europe, really. Sorry, Site Village, rather, used to be the big one in Europe, just up the road from me in Birmingham. And about 20 years ago, 15 years ago, even 10 years ago, that was the place where, you know, people would come in from across Europe and from the US. You know, we were talking about GW Micro earlier, and I'm pretty sure half the company used to come from GW Micro to Site Village. But what has happened really is that Site Village as a kind of a consumer show has really become a brand name for more localized shows across the UK. I think I might have mentioned this when we did the Site Village coverage last year, that, you know, there's a show in a Site Village show in London, Birmingham, Glasgow, Edinburgh, and they have one in the north which switches between Manchester and Leeds, which sort of dilutes the Birmingham one a bit, so you don't get the footfall like you used to, and it strategically just doesn't feel as a significant event as it did. I mean, the big news last year at Site Village that really brought people in was that Sight and Sound were doing the £75 Jaws or £99 Jaws, whatever it was, and that brought people in. But had it not been for that, and I think all the exhibitors were really pleased that Sight and Sound and Freedom were able to do that, because it increased footfall for everyone. So, but you do have to kind of resort to things like that now for Site Village to get people through the door, whereas in Frankfurt, which is where Site City took place in Germany, we had 128 exhibitors and many sort of leaders of companies. You played the interview I did with Humanware last week about the
Greg
Brilliant 14, with Greg Stilson. A lot of the colleagues from Canada were there as well, I think. Is it Gilles Papin from yep. Humanware was there? So a lot of the big people in these companies are coming together for business meetings across the 3 days. So the exhibition runs kind of, 10 till 4 each day. And of course, there are meetings and workshops and other presentations around that. And it really did feel busy. You know, there was a real buzz. There was lots of people milling around. One person said to me that they didn't think it had been as busy, but everyone else seemed to agree, it is quite busy. It's at an airport, so it's really easy to get to. So when you come off your flight, I mean, the saddest thing for me was that I didn't go outside the entire time I was there. I went into an airport in the UK and I was inside until I came back out of that airport in the UK.
That's a science fiction convention lover's dream, actually.
Not for me. I like a bit of fresh air, has to be said. They're also kind of, they put the tactile strips down to guide you. So you're in one big exhibition area and then you think, well, this is it. And actually, no, it's not, because there's another great big room down the hallway somewhere, So they've got tactile strips on the floor to guide you. Although I noticed there was no braille on doors and things. And that surprised me, because, I'm always hearing about how, there's more braille in places like Germany, but there was no braille on your lifts, and there was no talking in the lifts. I have no announcements. You know, when we go to the consumer conventions in the States, we used to the lift shouting out every floor and braille numbers everywhere, and they didn't seem to have that. But I guess it's not stopping it being busy. I should at this point also have a quick plug to Baum, who flew me out to Site City. It's no secret in the UK I've been doing a little bit of work with Baum UK, presenting their Vario Ultra range of braille displays, and it was an opportunity for me to pop over and see the sort of the Baum parent company.
Do you know much German?
Sorry.
Nein. Ein bitte. Is what I remember.
Well, there he is. Mein Deutsch ist Baden-Zimmer. Yes, pretty much.
Nicht gut.
do you find that is it exhibit driven then, or they're also, like here in the States, where there are a bunch of sessions and the like?
Yeah, well, that's what I was saying. So there were around and about, there were presentations and workshops and business.
But not
meetings.
As many as CSUN.
Not as many as CSUN, but also it's not a it's not a convention, you know, in this sort of the American sense, in that, you know, you have general sessions with business and all that kind of stuff going on. You know, it is really more, I suppose,
exhibition.
Exhibitor
first. And lots of how to cure blindness type stuff, at least from the translated schedule I was trying to read. That's what I was noticing. It seemed like a lot of
Well, that's what I mean. It's not just tech. It's a lot of medical stuff as well. And that's probably where, you know, some of your 128 comes from. So we already talked quite a lot, I think, on this show about the Brilliant 14. There's nothing to add about that.
Well, yeah, other than what you saw it.
Yeah, I mean,
you gave some.
Well, it feels like
we won't tell Baum that you went over and did that.
they were there. They were there. They knew
knew it was coming. Let's just talk about it from this angle. Is Sight City becoming more of a place where new products? I mean, I was definitely when I heard that HumanWare was going to drop that there. But, well, that's interesting. I don't remember too many American companies debuting products at Sight City in the past.
Well, I spoke to Greg a bit as well about the Braille Note, and he said that one of the reasons they were there was because they had translated Braille Note Touch into a number of European languages, and that was why they were there. They're looking to grow, the audience for Braille Note Touch, in those additional languages. So that was one of the reasons for him being there. But it was very clear, you know, using the Brilliant 14, that it wasn't finished at that point. You know, it still had a little way to go. The unit that Greg showed me wasn't final hardware. It did feel quite... I know the app is developed by Harpo, and I think that's a bit of a clue as to, you know, who's kind of behind this. And it did have a Harpo kind of feel about it. If you use the, the Braille pen... That's Harpo, I think, is it?
Right.
And the
Braille
12
pen touch. Kind of, yeah, the easy. Yep. That
yeah.
Was the
so
Harpo.
The keys kind of felt a little bit like that. You know, it ticked all the HumanWare boxes in terms of, you know, it's got the thumb keys and.
It's usually okay to go ahead and do that though, because, you know, HIMS did that with San Diego, where they kind of had a prototype of their new Polaris there for people, because if you're gonna get blind people to purchase something, you kind of need a blind focus group, and where else to do it but a major convention like Sight City or San Diego.
The big news with that is obviously the kind of the price point, and it'll be interesting to see how people respond to that. $995 or £825, I think. They're looking that at definitely. In the UK. Yeah,
that definitely cuts them out below.
And of course the Orbit Reader is imminent, you know, so very busy.
Did it feel
space.
A lot like previous versions of that, like the old what was it, the BT or the one that you could put in your pocket? Remember that very small one that you could just do Braille on, that was the Braille Note QT? Not QT, but
the
anyway,
PK.
I'm just running out of letters. Thank
and that,
you.
That was made by Baum.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did it feel like, again, it could fit in a satchel for a lady, it could fit in a purse?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Did it feel like
definitely,
other 14s?
Yeah. It's, are you guys familiar with the Vario Ultra? Because I had the Vario Ultra with me, and it was a little narrower than the Vario Ultra, as you would expect. You know, it's 14 cells, whereas the Vario Ultra is 20, but it was a little bit deeper, kind of front to back. So, yeah, it would definitely fit in a purse, as you guys call it, a handbag, as we would say.
I should ask, you mentioned there were certainly other Braille appearances there, some of which we talked about at CSUN, the Handitech Actolino as a 16, the El Braille 40 Canute. Were any of those, what else was there in the world of Braille?
Yeah, so VFO had the El Braille 40, although it was again interesting that they had a prototype of the 14, which I could almost swear was the same one I saw at CSUN last year. And a year on, VFO, you've still got a prototype on the exhibition stand.
They redid it. They re-engineered or they updated some of the internals, but the shell is still the same, was my understanding when we interviewed Adi Kushner.
Okay, well, you know, I tried it, and it does it will find an audience, because there will be people who want the, you know, the kind of the mainstreamness of Windows, but they want the Braille note taker kind of form factor. So it will find an audience. Dot Corp were there with the Dot Watch.
Watch.
Yes, mm-hmm. Indeed. Yeah. So this is basically a 4-cell refreshable display that goes on your wrist. They're not using the piezoelectric crystal technology that is used in conventional Braille displays. They've got their own way of driving the dots, and it has a kind of a rotating crown with a button above and below that, and then there are some touch sensors below the Braille display. I have to say again, I don't think this was quite ready. It did feel a bit chunky. I felt that the edges of it were quite hard. You know, I think for a watch, I'd want something a little bit more kind of rounded and smoothed off. Even though it is a circular watch, it still had quite hard edges. Right. It seemed to have this strange kind of quite large sort of D-ring at the front kind of shoulder. If you imagine the way the strap would attach to the watch. Now I believe that is going, but you know, the biggest issue for me, the kind of the showstopper, is the fact that the dots do feel quite faint, and it's my understanding that when you put your finger on the cell, you can't have the cell refreshing while your finger is on it, you know, and there are some use cases where you might want to do that. So
I've worried about durability, so that could actually play into some of the chunky style and some of the need not to have pins that'll pop right out or things that you might have run into with traditional Braille. But did they mention anything about battery life in the demonstration?
Yeah, they were very optimistic about battery life. They think it's in the region of 1 to 2 weeks. And it'll be really interesting to see whether that proves to be the case. But that was certainly the claim.
Paired or unpaired, of course.
Well, I don't know. Perhaps something might have been lost in the translation there. But, you know, it was definitely working. It was showing the time and the date and the stopwatch and the timer and also notifications from your phone. One of the units froze.
I liked the battery status little bars. I mean, that's kind of cool how they did that.
Yeah.
But, you know, so... Still going to buy $300. No, of course not.
They're also saying June as well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. In around 300, I think, or 290.
So for those of you who are tired of your Apple watches and want to have the new hot thing on your arm for the summer convention,
wear five watches.
I'm still happy with my Bradley, I have to say.
Tried
all of these things, and I go back to the Bradley because it's just this thing really classic about it.
And some people still hold on to their Tissots.
Yeah,
so indeed. Or Tavri said that. So you mentioned, I'm not sure if you got a chance to see it, the Braille display that never seems to catch on in our country, the Sikas, which is off the 7th generation. Perkins tried it for a little bit and dropped it and hasn't really caught on here. To me, it's always come off as the bargain basement of Braille displays. Did you get a chance to see this?
Yeah, so Nippon Telesoft is the company that make the Sika Mini 16, which might be sold under a different name in the US, possibly.
It used to be. I'm not even sure if Perkins is still selling it. I don't believe they even had it in their booth this year.
Yeah, Nippon had their own booth, and they weren't talking too much about American distributorship, which I thought was very interesting.
Well, the 16 goes for $1,500, so reasonably competitive price-wise. They have their Gemini super quiet embossers that they're quite excited about, which are meant to be quite quiet for a professional environment. But the new thing is the Sika 7 series, which they describe as a white box Braille display. So basically, it's a computer, and you can install Windows on there. Now, for this market and for your market, somebody is going to have to package that, because clearly there isn't going to be a big
some
market
assembly for, required.
Yeah, exactly. If you're paying, you know, $3,000-$4,000 or whatever for a Braille display, you know, no matter how good the hardware specs are, you know, if it's going to be 3K to the
how does it feel though?
So it feels, relative to other products, there are higher quality products. I mean, you know, Baum is known for its kind of premium construction and all of that, you know. And
he doesn't just say that because he works for them. That's a definite, I agree with that.
Yeah, no, that's one of the reasons why is for that reason.
Yeah, they're definitely at the higher end. And I think you know, one of the things that, HIMS have been getting right is the keyboards. And I know they're still doing some work on Polaris, so I'm not going to comment on that. But I think historically, the BrailleSense keyboards have been great. You know, really springy, easy to use.
Quiet.
And nice and quiet. You know, and Humanware put out reasonably solid products, and they back it up with great customer service most of the time. You know, so you've got to bring something fresh to the table, and they've obviously gone in on price, so it's not premium construction, and they will need, I think, a partner to really get the software right. Because I was asking questions like, well, you know, do you get, you know, which versions of Windows and, you know, Office and all of that, is it going to be on there? And like, well, that's up to you. That was their answer, you know.
Well,
that's fine.
So what you're saying is, for those of you who are homebrewers and like to run your own...
Do they have a price on it?
You're already a Arduino person. No,
well, that's the thing. The price even was wholesale. So the price was... it's going to be $3,000, so $3,000 to the distributor. So
for 40?
Yes.
That's already higher than retail of...
Yeah,
of the Edge and the Vario 40. Well, I mean,
but it's the other challenge. But they're going after the Note right. Tech. So the nearest comparison running would be Windows. L-Braille 40, I guess.
L-Braille 40, and we'll see where that comes in. Yeah. The challenge with anything that's running an operating system is, your computer technology is, you know, going to become out of date with older processors and ports and other things. Where if you have a computer with a Braille display, you can swap out the computer. But if you have it all built in, you have the same problem that you do with regular note takers, that suddenly you have your 2015 note taker, 2016, that doesn't support 802.11n or something, you know, other modern standards, and you're kind of stuck in the past. So.
It was the conversation was very difficult because we were struggling to understand each other, and that was about as far as I got. And can you switch out the motherboard and the processor? Wasn't the question.
It's honestly the reason we haven't interviewed them more than once or twice at CISO, not because we're trying to not cover that, but just we can never have a clear enough conversation to bring them on.
I was kind of hoping you were going to say it was a window box, then I could make a Braille window joke, but you know, getting back to old Braille displays.
Let's talk a little bit about HandyTech. So HandyTech, you know, big German manufacturer of Braille displays. I think, is it Triumph is the dealer in the US?
Yeah, it's Triumph. They used to call themselves HandyTech North America, then they went back to just being Triumph, but they're still the main rep here.
In Germany, apparently, Handy means mobile phone. It's your cell phone. So you're handy, mine handy. Oh. So this is a little bit of German I picked up. Mine handy is your cell phone. Okay.
Oh, and that makes a lot more sense now.
Yeah. Well, no, this is causing them a problem because people think they're a phone company, you know, and they're not. They're changing their name in Germany, at least, possibly internationally, to HelpTech.
HelpTech.
Yeah.
Won't cause any problems with help desk on SEO search at all.
What were they thinking with Handy Tech? Did Handy always mean phone, or was it?
Yeah, apparently. And they've just decided that it's becoming too much of a problem for them that they need to rebrand.
I'm not in their heads, but I mean, Braille displays are phone tech these days.
Well,
if you really think about it,
yeah. So the new kind of kid on the block is the Actuino, and that's a 16-cell Braille display. It's the curved Braille cells that we know from HandyTech Braille displays. It's a note taker. It does the sensing your finger thing. What do they call it? ACT, active
tactile control.
Yeah, ATC. That's it. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it works. You know, I tried really hard to make it not work, and I was reading, and when my fingers got to the end of the line, and I tried with different fingers and reading with different hands and stuff like that, and it works. Whatever algorithm they've got going on there to detect where your finger is working.
You know what it is? It was the monogram. They didn't want to change their towels. They can still be HT if they want to be. See, yeah. HelpTech, HandyTech, you know, it's it's like a lady who marries a gentleman and she keeps the last, you know, same
half
first
of the name, yeah.
But apparently their sensor technology, it doesn't just sense your position of your finger, you know, at a kind of a cell level. The resolution is down to the dot. So a teacher would be able to see whether a user had covered an entire cell with their finger, if they'd even touched particular dots within a cell. You know, and obviously that's kind of reflected in their pricing. I couldn't get a price for the Actuino just yet. yet.
2,500 here, I believe.
Yeah.
For a 16 cell, 16, which is that's definitely right. the highest 16 cell.
It's a note taker. It does have those smarts. So it has the touch sensor technology, you know, the curved cell. That's, you know, obviously something they market, whether it means a lot to you. There'll be some people, you know, who say they can't live without it, a bit like, you know, Humanware thumb keys. The other thing to say about it is they've got the music thing, and I think you might have demoed this with other Handy Tech products in the past.
I believe a year or two.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, where you can do the so it's got a chip in there for playing MIDI, I guess, and you run your finger along the Braille music and it plays the note. And having that on a little note taker, you know, as a way of studying music on the go, I think, you know, it's potentially
it could be really innovative. It comes off as gimmicky in a show demonstration, but it actually, there are certain people that really could help out. And by the way, helptech.de exists with the explanation that you just gave on the homepage. So
you doubt me.
No, I didn't doubt you. I just wanted to see if the domain was taken. If not, I was going to grab it
and sell it back to them.
No, yeah.
They got names of people like you.
I know you have kids to take care of and everything. Anything else that caught your eye?
Not really. I mean, there was nothing. I checked in with Papamire and Dolphin, and there was nothing really new there. Of course, since I was last on, Baum have got their Vario 340, which is a Braille display designed.
USB. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's a USB-C port, and it's designed for simplicity and for secure environments. So they just have the panning buttons and the routing keys, and no Bluetooth, no storage, nothing.
Yours have routing keys. Ours have routing keys. I see.
Oh my, awesome. Dave, thank you so much for taking some time out to talk to us, especially being so far ahead of us during record time, and also giving us an overview. You know, you're more than welcome to come on the show anytime you want. It doesn't always have to be tied to an exhibition. If you have something you want to come on and talk about, you know that you're more than welcome. We love having you on, man.
Thanks, guys. It's always a pleasure, and I look forward to speaking with you soon.
Do you want people to contact you?
No. Well, you can do. Well, what am I doing? So I'm doing some training, kind of freelance. It's more kind of one-on-one, face-to-face stuff, really. There's lots of people offering online and over the internet type training. I think my USP, I love to go to people, you know, and actually I know it costs a little bit more, but actually there are some people for whom that's the best way they learn, is they've got you in the room and they can ask you the question face to face. And I love meeting new people. So I'm doing a bit of that. The Bristol Braille technology, those guys are working on their user interface at the moment. I continue to be the acting chair of the Braillists, braillists.org. So there's a discussion forum there. And one of the things we're spinning out of the Braillists is we're starting a podcast. Now, there's an idea.
All right. Nobody's doing podcasts. No, that's a good
idea. So you're not affiliated with any of those or have a history. Not at all.
Well, I've been sitting on this for about 18 months thinking nobody's doing a podcast just about Braille. Not just about Braille technology, but the impact of Braille and the value of Braille and the stories of the people who use and teach Braille and the families of those people. So there's a lot to explore, I think. And we've made a pilot, and we're going to make another one. So it's a bit of a soft launch, braillecast.com. Some of the information on there is a little bit out of date, but people can join in with that if they want to help make it and grow it.
That's really cool. Maybe I'll find an excuse to come on there someday. That sounds like a really, really cool thing. So thank you so much, Dave.
You're very welcome.
We'll talk to you sometime very soon, and get some sleep.
Thank you.
Hey, it's JJ here, and I'm out traveling, which I do often, and decided to do a tip while I was traveling, just for you and for Patrick, who loves to edit goofy things like this that we decide to do. A story of how technology has really changed how we think about travel and how we do things. I was going to visit my niece for her graduation over in Wisconsin last weekend, and decided to take the Amtrak from Michigan to Milwaukee. And I did that. We made it to Chicago just fine, and while I'm waiting for my Milwaukee train, the dreaded phone call from Amtrak, not usually a good thing, just to let us know that our train had been canceled. Not a good thing, because I had to get to the graduation ceremony within about 3 hours, and I was about 2 hours away from the university where she was graduating. So some quick thinking and technology is what helped us out there. I go down to the boarding area, try to figure out what's going on, and see if they're going to figure out and provide some buses or do something else, which they were eventually, but the bus wasn't going to leave for another hour, and it wouldn't have got there until, well, right about the time of the graduation, and we would have been stuck. Meanwhile, I am looking at Plan B and Plan C on my phone, on my smartphone, calling up Uber, and seeing what it might take. Yes, it's about an hour and a half drive, and it seems like it might be a little too expensive to do something like Uber, but it actually doesn't seem too bad. It's $100 to go from Chicago to Milwaukee. So I calmly yell out to the room, hey, it's about $100 for an Uber. If a couple of you want to come in with me, we can do this, and it actually won't cost that much. Train tickets are $22. So we found two other people with me to split an Uber for about $33 a piece. So we picked that up. We kind of talked about where we were going to get dropped off, and we headed outside to get the Uber. Now, as some of you may know, Uber has the split fare features where you can split the ride and make the payment a lot easier. Well, this was almost good. The guy who picked up the Uber invited me, and I accepted. The third person was not hugely up on technology, and she was, for some reason, not getting the invitation. So now we were stuck with me and him paying half of the fare. She had cash, which is fine, and paid him the money in cash to get her part of the Uber. But of course, he needed to pay me some of that back because right now I was paying 50 and he was paying 50. Well, another technology came in, PayPal. We both had those set up, so he paid me back the remaining 17 or so. So I was paying a third, and that we were all set up in that regard. Which just amazed me, and him and I were talking on the ride up there, how much technology had changed that experience. Amtrak with the e-ticket and having my email and phone number was able to contact me right away when the train was canceled. We were able to pull up another ride and have it show up there within 3 or 4 minutes. Use PayPal to arrange the payment when Uber wasn't able to entirely do it themselves. And, by the way, connected on Facebook because it was a really interesting conversation on the way up there. So all these technologies really changing something that even 10, 15 years ago might have seemed like an impossible feat or a situation where you would have just been stuck and had no way to get there. So think about that and how technology can help you when you're traveling and what that plan B might look like. Send your tips to feedback@blindpartners.com.
It's your turn to sound off. Email feedback@blindbargains.com or tweet us @blindbargains.
Welcome back to Sound Off here on episode 101. And I can't imagine what possibly could be the thing that people wrote in to us about.
There was no news this week. Nothing.
I know. So quiet.
Yeah.
No, it was really active. Yeah.
Oh my god.
A lot of people wrote us at Blind Bargains. A lot of people wrote us feedback at Blind Bargains. Some of our normal regular
Tiffany already said that. You didn't have to do that. She already said that.
She did. She did. So we had a lot of people sending in ideas and thoughts and things.
Let's just read a few off, and I'm not even going to comment on all these. But at Blue Handsome, who's Sam, and on Twitter, I'm hoping they're planning on moving devs from WindowEyes to JAWS to consolidate strengths. Right now, NVDA is kicking butt. Christopher Dio, sometimes a company might acquire another one just for this technology. Was this a situation here to smother a competitor? JAWS was the bigger. I mean, in Freedom, they were the bigger company. So that's, probably kind of part of how things happen here. They wanted Zoom text.
I was about to say, AI Squared acquired GW Micro. GW Micro came along for the ride in AI Squared. AI Squared was acquired by VFO. So, no.
VFO wanted Zoom text. And it goes along with the what happens to magic question. Well, I think you can kind of figure out where this is going. Super Lady 57 says, I'll use all three screen readers. The sad and my hard-earned money is now in the toilet. Well, let's see what's going on tomorrow.
I guess if you feel strongly about something, if you already had both JAWS and WindowEyes, here's a possibility, at another license. I hear you, and it's the same way as people talking about NVDA. We kind of talked about this with Dave, but we didn't really bring it up. We had a conversation before we started recording. If you adore a technology and you feel very strongly about it, let's say Narrator, for instance, you want to contribute, like the email that we had last week from Mr. Herzog. You want to contribute. You want to provide support. You want to provide information. You want to provide bug reports so you can make that a good experience for everyone. In the case of NVDA, you can contribute either monetarily through bug reports, or like Dave had said to us, and we didn't capture this, but Dave had said, Be the water bearer. Go out there and take the certification. Provide information. Do tutorials. You know, make sure you listen into what's going on at NVDAcon. You feel strongly and passionately about a product, whether that be, you know, Apple products or Amazon Echo or whatever, you pick up that flag and wave it around and do what you can for the ones that are still here. But technology comes and goes. Doesn't matter whether it's assistive or not.
Let me do one more. And these were certainly not even all the comments. There were some over on the website and the emails as well. We'll kind of sort these out over time. And, you know, a lot of them kind of people duplicate each other. So if we don't read yours, it's just because there are a lot of similar comments. But I like this from Broadway Dan on Twitter. The problem is not that there's no longer options, but there is fewer options. Not everyone can learn too. But then he goes on to say, what saddens me more, and you were kind of talking about this a little bit, Joe, what saddens me more is not the discontinuation of a software product. It's how some people are reacting to it and overreacting to it. Besides, we still have options. Narrator, many of them. JAWS, NVDA system, Access, Dolphin, and even Narrator. I'm totally not minimizing the attachment and loyalty to WindowEyes that many have had by any means. But my main point is in life, you can either embrace change or be dragged along. I choose to embrace change.
Yeah, and to take the glass half full option here, for employment, there are fewer screen readers to test. For website accessibility testing, there are fewer screen readers to test. So therefore, there is the possibility, by no way am I underlining that it is assured, but there's the possibility that we could have a better experience with the ones that are left because there is one less option available on the table. But at the same time, it also becomes that you're eating at the same restaurants. If all you have is a Shakey's, or I'm going to be really old here, right? A Sizzler.
What the heck is that?
See, I love this. I knew I would get him here. And a Golden Corral.
No, Shake Shack.
Okay, that too. But you don't have a Wendy's, right? You know, you were like, oh man, if I only had like a square hamburger instead, you know, that'd be so much different. And there's a possibility. Maybe NVDA becomes that square hamburger that everybody was looking for. It's a very, very weird analogy. But my point here being for some aspects of this, I'm known for doing this, for some aspects of this, there's actually some portions of the industry that will actually have a benefit, because for trainers, it makes it a little easier. They can concentrate on these things. And the point of only knowing one or two screen readers is very valid. There are some people who don't have the elasticity to be able to know multiple screen readers and multiple things. They'll just settle with one, and it's usually the first one they encounter.
And one point on that, by the way, the dauntingness of switching to another screen reader, a lot of commands that you might think are your screen reader's commands are actually Windows commands. Lots of things. JAWS has a habit of doing this and calling Windows commands JAWS commands, which they are not. But, you know, Control C is always going to be copy. Control X is going to be cut. Control O is going to be open. That stuff isn't changing. I mean, in the action, pretty much all the screen readers except for Narrator do a very similar thing as far as whether you call it browse mode, focus mode, forms mode, etc. The web. You might have a different key for headings or lists or links or jumping around. There might be a few other keys, but how many different screen reader commands do you really use on a day-to-day basis? Maybe you change the speech rate or punctuation level. Maybe you want to know the bypass key, the keyboard help. There's maybe another 5 or 10, right? So it may not be as daunting as you think it is. So, you know, you're going to have to, if you're a WindowEyes user, you're going to have to give something else a try. Yes, you can continue using WindowEyes 9, 5, 4, including the Microsoft Office version
stay on Windows 7 Windows 10 for a Insider. While.
It works with Insider. That was the last thing they supported. Pretty much they said, well, you can go into the future, but we aren't guaranteeing anything. And that's kind of how it's going to be from here on out. Hey, this is a simple one. I like easy questions. Betty Gray, on your BBcast 99, what was the name of the app that you could use to reassign hotkeys? That's Sharp Keys, Betty. Sharp Keys. And I thought the link was up there in the show notes. It should be there, but I'll definitely make sure. But it's all one word, Sharp Keys. And a really cool tip just a couple episodes ago, 99.
So
what was that again, Joe?
There are things you might ask all the time. And we talked about Amazon a lot lately. We've talked about the Echo. We've talked about the show. We've talked about all these different things. But there was actually a product announcement, Jay, that I you might have missed. It was really, really quiet. But I heard about it over the weekend on Saturday.
Oh, this is the one for your generation.
Not exactly, but I appreciate that. To hear what Jay and I are talking about, take a listen to this lovely clip.
The new Amazon Echo has everyone asking Alexa for help.
Alexa, what time is it? What the hell is wrong with this blasted thing? Amanda!
But the latest technology isn't always easy to use for people of a certain age.
These kids have bought me a busted machine again. Alexa!
That's why Amazon partnered with AARP to present the new Amazon Echo Silver, the only smart speaker device designed specifically to be used by the greatest generation. It's super loud and responds to any name even remotely close to Alexa, so they can find out the weather.
Allegra, what is the weather outside?
It is 74 degrees and sunny.
Huh?
It is 74 degrees and sunny.
Where?
Outside.
What about it?
The temperature outside is 74 degrees and sunny.
I don't know about that.
I adore that.
What?
Every time I think about buying an Echo or Google Home for my mother, this will now jump into my head. I got her a basket of candies and cookies and the assortment for Mother's Day instead, because I don't. My mom's doing really well with her iPhone, but I just don't want to go into Apple TV or Amazon Echo.
No, that's the thing. If you give the gift of tech to someone who is not used to giving tech, then you also have to give the gift of lifetime tech support.
Every holiday
you have to come hand in hand. Otherwise,
the full thing you can find a link to, or you can look on YouTube. Amazon Echo Silver
Saturday Night Live,
which was last week, which I thought was hysterical. You can find all that and more over at blindbargains.com under the show notes for podcast 101.
I have one for you, going on the other end of the spectrum. Mm-hmm. Always helping the seniors. I have one for the kids. Perhaps one in your household here, Joe.
8 to 80. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know, people get busy. Lots going on. You have to go see Guardians of the Galaxy and play with Legos all day and Xboxes.
Okay. You're describing
might not
my
actually
life.
Have time for school. Right.
Sure.
So. We surf around, my family surfs around a lot on auction sites looking for deals and kind of things that you can buy at auction and maybe perhaps resell or turn back around or just kind of buy cheaply. This is a little unorthodox listing from the one that just ended. Does your child need a science project? Do you not have time to help them? Then you should bid on this pre-made floating farm. Comes with report. Made for middle school science students. P.S. I got an A.
that's
it actually got a bid. It was sold for $1.
Oh, that's so funny. Entrepreneur.
I don't know if, now I'm not sure if the person who bought it, they're gonna be in trouble if they take it back to the same school where it was originally graded.
My friend and I in high school, senior English, he had an Apple II, and he was busy, I was busy, and I offered to if he got the research and put in all the footnotes and stuff, I would write the paper. So I wrote the paper on the Apple II, and we turned in the same paper. And I got an 86, and he got a 78. And he was really upset because, all we did was print out two copies and just change the name. Or I think I even just put a blank line there, and we signed it differently.
Yeah, this was before the days of turn it in where they check
for
plagiarism.
Where they could actually put
like
it through something to see if you plagiarized, right? Again, it was. We were lucky we had printers and computers back then, Jay. You've made
sense. Yeah, sure.
Probably when you were born. Who knows? So we turned in the same thing, and he was upset. I was like, why are you upset? He's like, well, you got a higher grade than I did, and it was the same paper. And I was like, great. Go tell the teacher so we can both get a zero. Let's just accept it. Fuck on.
It was the same.
I don't know what to tell you.
In the same class, you guys. Wow.
He and I were both seniors, and we had two separate teachers.
Oh, yeah, different teachers. Okay, I was like, that'd be
two
really ballsy
teachers.
If you guys did this to the same teacher.
Oh, yeah, wouldn't that have been awesome?
I think
I seem like I've read this paragraph before. I'm not really...
Yeah, but some teachers, sometimes, some will just read the first few, the two lines.
It's entirely,
looks good.
Entirely possible, yeah.
But, yeah, sorry, this auction's over. So you missed your opportunity. You're not going to be able to get it
That is yours. Amazing. I like that. There was an article right before we started to walk in to record, and the title of it was, if you're going to have your mom spell check your paper, she probably shouldn't hit reply all to you and the teacher when she does so. So,
man,
that was kind of cool. If you've got hysterical stories of school, as we're getting to the end of the school year here in the States for most grade schoolers, and some college people are already out, let us know. Send us some information, feedback@blindbargains.com. If you want to find out about silly things such as video games and accessibility, and CJ and Dave Williams and I all tweet back and forth at each other, you certainly can by following me over Ranger Station. That's twitter.com/Ranger Station, all one word.
There's lots going on on the Blind Bargains Twitter. Follow @BlindBargains for that. And also, you can just do a, open up one of those Twitter buffer searches, and you can search the @BlindBargains account. You can see people talking about VFO and other things, like how to fix a Braille and Speak battery. Apparently, it was a conversation went on about 40 different tweets, and we got mentioned in all of them. Thank you. But lots going on there. Of course, you could email feedback@blindbargains.com. If you're grabbing this quickly, we're going to have some fun in San Francisco this weekend. I'm going to do a report back from the Lighthouse event, Maker Faire Made Accessible. I'm not going to Google I.O. Not going to Google I.O. I'm going to this Lighthouse event with Oracle called Maker Faire Made Accessible. So I'm going to talk a little bit about that next week. Really cool how they're making Maker Faires accessible. And if you want to know what a Maker Faire is, well, you're gonna have to wait or Google it. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. Really cool
they
thing.
They're cooking up with Discovery Television to do more Maker Faire stuff on Discovery TV.
There's so much. Yeah, there's so many cool events going on. And while I'm in San Francisco, I'm not even going to get the chance to go over to Google I.O., but that's happening. And we're going to maybe try to squeeze it in this week, but it is not really happening until later in the week. So we'll definitely have some of that to talk about next time around. I'm sure there'll be some Google I.O. news on the next one, and maybe some
other stuff as well. And before we get to summer convention, we'll have a WWDC at the beginning of June, E3. And then, of course, we start rolling into other stuff. But before we do any of that, we want to thank
next week.
Before we get to any of that, we want to thank our sponsor, Hims, for sponsoring this particular podcast.
Hims-INC.com is where you can find out about the Braille Sense Polaris coming out in the next month or two. I know they're ramping up and getting ready to release that. You can learn about that and other things like GoVision and eBot and other things as well. So again, Hims-INC.com.
Thanks, Dave Williams, for coming on the program.
Thanks,
Dave. It was
Dave.
Cool to be able to talk to him, not hear a pre-record. That is fantastic. And
I wasn't going to tell him, and time flies. It was 2 years ago. He was not last summer. It was 2 summers ago. Time flies there,
true.
Man.
This is so true.
2015.
And Patrick remembers it well because Patrick was editing that as well as all of our wonderful audio. We would not sound as wonderful as we do if it wasn't for the fantastic and amazing Patrick Perdue.
Thank you so much for listening, folks. And we will see you again next time.
See Bye. Ya.
This has been another Blind Bargains audio podcast. Visit blindbargains.com for the latest deals, news, and exclusive content. This podcast may not be retransmitted, sold, or reproduced without the express written permission of AT Guys.
Copyright 2017.